This morning, I appreciate the Lord giving us another Lord's Day, and I appreciate this opportunity to be here in the service this morning. Thankful the Lord's give us health and strength and traveling mercy and grace. Always a blessing to be here at Black Oak. We're grateful for you that are here this morning. And I do trust you'll pray for us for just a few moments, that the Lord might help us and speak through us and to us, and that we might glean and gather something from His Word that'll help our lives. And I'm glad the Word of God will do that for us. I appreciate His Word. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of the Lord. And His Word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. And so I appreciate the good Word of the Lord. I'm glad we have a copy of the Scripture this morning. I want you to turn, if you have a Bible with you, you want to turn with us, Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12. And I want to read just one verse, verse number 4, in that text this morning, and try to preach on that just a moment, the Lord being our helper, as you would pray for us. Hebrews chapter 12, and we're looking at verse number 4. Just going to read that real short verse, and then try to preach from it if the Lord would help us. The Bible said in verse 4 of Hebrews 12, "You have not yet resisted unto blood, striving against sin." Father, I thank You for the privilege to pray this morning. I thank You, Lord, for the night and for the day. I thank You for the week. I thank You, Lord, for the year. I thank You for life itself. Lord, we appreciate every blessing that You've bestowed upon us. Lord, surely we're not worthy of even the temporal blessings You've given us. But, Lord, I'm thankful this morning that You have blessed us, Lord, with health and strength, with, Lord, food and raiment. You said, having such, therewith be content. Lord, You blessed us beyond that. And I appreciate, Lord, the extra things that You've given us to make life a little more enjoyable and a little easier. But I thank You most of all for eternal life that we have through Jesus Christ, our Lord. I thank You for the love of God and the peace that's in our heart this morning. Thank You for the privilege to be here with these dear people this morning, Lord, in this place. Thank You, Lord, for their, Lord, devotion and dedication to You. And thank You, Lord, for the times You've blessed us and the days that have passed here even in this place. But, Lord, this is a new day. And, Lord, this is a new service and a new congregation. And I need fresh oil this morning. And I pray You'd have mercy on me and upon these dear people that await my words. And for a few moments, hide us in the cross and anoint us afresh. Give us heavenly wisdom, spiritual understanding, and anoint us to preach, empower us to preach. Permit us to preach and preach through us the message that would bring glory and honor unto Your holy name. And Lord, I pray the Word of God can go forth from these lips of clay in the power and demonstration of the Spirit of God. And I pray it can find lodging in our lives. May the saints be encouraged. May the saints be strengthened. And may the saints, Lord, be reproved and rebuked and instructed and exhorted and admonished by the Word of God this morning. May You give us ears to hear and hearts to receive what You have for us. And may the sinners that are among us this morning be convicted and converted and brought to a place of repentance and faith. Help us this morning, I pray, dear Lord. Oh, God, have mercy, I pray. And, oh, Lord, above everything that's done this morning, I pray You get glory and honor unto Your high and holy name. Lord, what You're pleased to do in and through and for us, I'll thank You and praise You. I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Thank you so kindly for standing this morning. We read the Word of God and prayed together. I want to preach this morning out of this verse on this those last three words, that last part of the verse, where the Bible said, striving against sin. Striving against sin. I wonder this morning where we are in our relationship of striving against sin. First of all, I want to talk to you this morning about striving against sin in salvation. There is a striving against sin when you get saved, or when you are attempting to be saved. You see, when we are our natural condition, our natural birth, we are sinners by nature, sinners by practice, sinners by choice.
And because we're in that condition, we are held fast by sin. And we are servants and slaves to sin. Actually, my friend, Satan is our master if we're in sin. That is, he rules and reigns over our life. I know he promises us freedom. I know he says, if you'll just do whatever your flesh wants you to do, and my friend, that you'll be happy, you'll be satisfied. But he is a liar, the Bible said, and the truth's not in him. The Bible said he's a liar from the beginning. And so he promises us that if we'll indulge and involve ourselves deeper in sin than what we already are, that we will have liberty, or we'll have enjoyment, amen? But pleasure in sin is only for a season. And the wages of sin is death. And you will reap what you sow, amen? And Satan never shows the other side or the backside, my friend, of what sin does. He never shows the results of the reaping of sin. And so many, and when we're lost, we're held captive, and we are held enslaved by Satan and by sin. Amen? And then here comes the Word of God. Here comes the Gospel, my friend. The Word of God preached unto us with the Holy Ghost sent down from heaven. And Jesus said, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. And so the truth comes, the Word of God, which is like a sword, quick and powerful. Really, it's sharper, the Bible said, than any two-edged sword. And it pierces asunder, my friend, the joints and the marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. It separates the soul from the spirit. Amen? In other words, my friend, that person that can only know sin and has known sin, that gospel, that truth of the Word of God cuts them loose, or frees them to receive something else, to believe something else, my friend. In other words, it allows the inward man to see, my friend, what he is by nature and what he must be by the grace of God. But I say to you, the gospel is good news. It's the good news of saving grace through the Lord Jesus Christ. But though it comes, it's good news. My friend, and a person may latch hold on it, my friend, or receive it in, my friend, the very light of it, there ensues a battle. Because Satan does not want to turn loose of the soul that he's got captive. And sin, my friend, holds us fast, and we're chained to it, and it will not just automatically release us. Are you with me this morning? Amen? And so there's a striving in salvation. Jesus said it like this in Luke chapter 13. And verse 23, the Bible said that one came to Jesus and said, are there few that be saved? And Jesus said this, strive to enter in at the straight gate. For many, I say unto you, will seek to enter in and shall not be able. You see, my friend, just the word alone, or the good news of salvation in Christ, our liberty in Christ, does not automatically set a person free. Amen. Now, they've got to hear the truth. They've got to hear the Word of God. But just hearing it does not set them free. And as a matter of fact, once that news comes, then there is a battle that takes place. But once right when Moses went to Egypt. And Egypt is a type of sin. And my friend, and Pharaoh was a type of the devil or Satan. And he had those people in bondage. And Moses, I said to him, let my people go. Well, thank God it was the word of the Lord. It was what Jehovah had told Moses to say. But Pharaoh said, I ain't going to let them go. Amen. And just because of the word of God is preached, my friend, that does not mean that automatically the sinner is converted. No, there comes a striving then. Amen. And there it was in Egypt. It got worse upon them than it had been before Moses, my friend, told Pharaoh to let God's people go. It got worse upon them. And when the word of God comes, my friend, things do get worse. Why? Because there's a striving. The word striving simply means there's a struggle. And so what happens is the old man, the old nature, does not want to give rein or give over, my friend, to the new man. Amen. The carnal mind does not want to subject or submit itself to that new man that's been awakened. Are you listening to me? Amen. The life of sin does not want to die out. So the life of Christ can be manifest in us. Amen. If it were just so that we could just preach the word and my friend just speak the word and sinners be saved, the house would be full this morning. But there is a striving. And the reason there's few that are saved, many shall seek and shall not be able. Why? Because God's not able to save. No. He's able to save, the Bible said, to the uttermost. All that come to God by Him, seeing He ever liveth and abideth, that to make intercession for us. And by the way, Jesus has never lost a case. Jesus has never tried to save anybody and failed to save them. Jesus has never had to look at an individual and say, you're too bad, your sin's too great, I can't do anything for you. Amen. Not one. Hallelujah. And there never will be one. Hallelujah. And I'm grateful for that. He said, all that the Father shall give me shall come unto me. And he that cometh unto me, I shall in no wise cast out. Amen. But the problem is the striving against sin. Hallelujah. And man or woman, boy or girl, does not want to die out to the sin nature. Amen. I've been at the deathbed of too many people that have died, but I have a few. And I marvel at this, my friend, how even when a person loses consciousness, how that this body, how that this flesh wants to live, amen, and how it will fight to live and don't want to die, even when the person is not even aware that they're fighting against death, amen. Thank God that fights to live and fights to survive. And so it is when a person gets convicted, when a person gets arrested by the Holy Ghost, when the Word of God turns the light on their life and they know what they need to do in order to be saved, it's just not automatic. There is a striving because the old nature does not want to die. And it fights very hard to live. And there is a striving against sin. Amen. Not that God can't save. And really, not that salvation is not easy or simple. It is when you get to that place where you can repent and believe. But getting there's the problem. There's the striving. There's the resistance. Sin don't want to turn loose. Satan don't want give up. Hallelujah. And so there is a striving against sin. Amen. The word not only means to struggle, it means to contend with an adversary. And you see, a Satan, my friend, doesn't want to turn the sinner loose. And he'll do everything to hold on. Are you hearing me? But we're to strive against sin. Amen. In salvation. It's through much tribulation that we enter into the kingdom. Are you hearing me? The reason some get saved quicker than others, they're not striving so much. They get past it. They die out. They become more willing easier. Amen. Than others do. And it is a blessed day in your life. Thank God. When you'll just turn it all over to God and let Him have His way. Amen. Hallelujah. There's a striving against sin. Bless His name. It's not you're trying to convince God to save you. It's not like God has made up His mind He won't save you. And you've got to keep coming to Him and convince Him, my friend, that He should. He's ready to save. He's ready to pardon. Your striving is with your sin. Hallelujah. Amen. You're struggling with your adversary. You're contending with your adversary. And you're struggling against sin. The same word is used for Christ when He was in the Garden of Gethsemane. And the Bible said He was in great agony. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, what was wrong with Christ? Thank God. He was struggling with this flesh because He came in the likeness of sinful flesh. Though He never sinned, He is made in the likeness of sinful flesh. And what He was struggling with there was not His will to be done, but God's will. His agony was that He become willing to drink the bitter cup. Amen. And if it was hard for Christ Himself, the Son of God, God the Son, hallelujah, to bring His flesh into obedience to the will of God, you'll strive as well. Hallelujah. But oh, wonderful day when you can just fold yourself up like a handkerchief and hand yourself over to God and say, here I am. Thank God. Live or die, sink or swim. Here I am. 100%. Nothing held back. You can have all of it. I'll go where you say go. I'll do what you say do. I'm wholly yours from here on out. Hallelujah. Amen. Bless His name. And though it got worse on the Israelites in Egypt, it also got worse on the Egyptians, but Pharaoh wouldn't let them go. Hallelujah. But I tell you what changed the tide. I tell you what made him turn them loose. It's when God visited in judgment with death. Hallelujah. And I'll tell you what broke the power. Hey God. Of Egypt was the blood of that lamb. Hey God. A shed and put on the doorpost. That's what got them out of Egypt. And there's power in that blood to this very morning. That power. I've got to overcome. And if you can ever set your affection and set your faith in that blood, hallelujah, it has the power to release you from sin and release you from Satan and get you out of sin's bondage this morning. Amen. And so, our text says, striving against sin. And there'll be a striving, hallelujah, in the salvation. Why should I strive, preacher? Because the next verse says, once the good man of the house has risen up, or the Lord hath risen up and shut to the door, won't nobody get in. Hallelujah. You better strive while you can. Hallelujah. If God is striving with you, if the Holy Spirit is dealing with you, then strive against that sin that don't want you to get right. Struggle with it. Contend with it. Hallelujah. And say, God help me. I can't do it by myself. Woo! Hallelujah. But I'm giving it all to you. And let God work His grace and a miracle in your life. Amen. Because the time is short, and because one day the door will be closed. And there won't be no striving then. Amen. So we're talking about, first of all, striving against sin in salvation. Secondly, this morning, I'll talk to you a little bit about striving against sin in sanctification. Amen. In sanctification. Now, you are aware this morning that once we are saved, there are two types of sanctification that a believer possesses. First of all, there is what we call positional sanctification. And the word sanctified, or to sanctify, simply means you have been set apart. Hallelujah. And so when God saves us, He sets us apart. Hallelujah. Did He not make a distinct difference between the Egyptians and the Israelites? Hallelujah. And does He not make a radical and an essential difference between the saved and the lost? He does. Hallelujah. Oh, bless His name. We are still in the world, but we are no longer of the world. Amen. Hallelujah. Bless His name. And so God sets us apart. That we have a position in Christ. That is, God sets us apart. I don't remember. I couldn't quote all the verses that would relate to that. But one of them would be Titus 2:11. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation has appeared unto all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, who gave Himself for us. Amen. That He might purify us from all iniquity, and redeem us from all iniquity, and purify unto Himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. Peculiar people. Amen. Now, I know for years how we've used that word peculiar as we do in the natural sense as to mean somebody that's odd. Amen. And to the world, we are peculiar. But really, the word peculiar means, hey, God, let me like God, putting us as a dot in the middle of a circle and drawing a circle around us. And then outside that circle is everybody, is the world. It's where we used to live. But He puts us over in this new sphere, in this new life. Pulls us apart from what we were and who we were. Are you hearing me? And how do you get sanctified? By the sprinkling of blood. We have a position that we are set apart in God, in Christ, as new creatures. Amen. I like it myself. That is positional sanctification. Then there is practical sanctification. That is a day-to-day living. Amen. And positional sanctification is obtained, my friend, by grace and through faith. It is part of salvation. Hallelujah. Just like forgiveness, just like justification, sanctification and glorification. All of those come under salvation. But now, thank God, our practical sanctification, hallelujah, is what we do. Is the works that we've been created unto, and we walk in them, or we live in them. Amen. Hallelujah. Oh, having these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. Amen. Because we have a position of being set apart in Christ from the world, from those that are condemned to a state of no condemnation or justification. Amen. Set apart for the glory of God. Set apart as a peculiar people. Then let us carry out that as we walk through this world. And how do we do that? By holy living. Hallelujah. By practicing holiness. I'm not talking about a doctrine. I'm not talking about a denomination. I'm talking about an attitude. Holiness is an attitude. Hallelujah. And you can have belong to a holiness church as far as denomination and still not be an ounce of holiness in you. Hallelujah. And that you could have outward adorning, my friend. Oh, hear me. Have some type of holiness, rules and regulations, and still be unholy. For holiness is an attitude. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank God. And it has more to do, thank God, with your inside than it does your outside. Now, I say this. It'll come out on you when you get right inside. It was David that said in Psalms 51 and verse 6, thou desirest truth in the hidden parts. That is, down in there where nobody can see. That's where you want truth. And he said, in the hidden parts, make me to know wisdom. Amen. Holiness. Hallelujah. It's an attitude. Are you anybody listening to me? God help. And I'll tell you, there's something wrong with folks that talk about holiness and have a sleeve down to here. Thank God. Or hair down to here. And yet, my friend, thank God, I can cuss like a sailor or have anger problems. Something's wrong with their holiness. Anybody listening to me this morning? God help us. Amen. Oh, but whether you're a Baptist or a Methodist or a Nazarene or a holiness, God wants us to live in an attitude of holiness. Be you holy as I am holy. We should have holy desires, holy delights. Amen. A holy appetite. Anybody hearing me tonight or this morning? Oh, God help us. We're to go on to perfection. God wants His people that are saved how to live like they're saved. Hallelujah. How to act like they have been set apart. Are you hearing me? Amen. Bless His name. But yet, when we endeavor to do that, we'll strive against sin. Are y'all hearing me? Oh, it sounds good when it comes out of the book. Hallelujah. But try walking it on Monday morning. Hallelujah. Because in your body, hallelujah, there is still the principle of sin. Paul said it right in Romans chapter 7. Amen. In my members, there still works the law of sin. And it fights against me to try to bring me into captivity again. Though I've been set free, it still wants to keep me bound. Hallelujah. So there is a striving against sin in sanctification, our holiness, our right living, our godliness, whatever word you want to attach to it. Hallelujah. Oh my. Thank God. And you'll have to strive. And by the way, you can strive against sin today and get victory over it, but it'll show up tomorrow. You don't battle one time and it's over with. Hallelujah. Now I know there are some in some denominations that teach that once you get saved, then you can go back for a second work of grace, they call it. And they call that a sanctification.
Amen. Some of them use different terminology. Some of them use baptism of the Holy Ghost or some other means. Hallelujah. And that they say that you can have a second work of grace that will eradicate the sin that's in you. And then you won't sin no more. But I want to tell you, friend, I don't find that to be biblical. It's a good thought. I wish you could. But as long as you're in this flesh, as long as you're in this body, there's going to be a striving against sin. Now, the secret is to learn how to gain the victory over it. And if we'll walk in the Spirit, the Bible said we'll not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Hallelujah. The thing to learn to do is to ignore or to put down or to mortify or to make dead of that that wants to come alive in us that's wrong and contrary to God. Hallelujah. And allow the Holy Spirit to live through us. Amen. And that's how to have victory. Anybody listening to me? Woo! Bless His name this morning. Hallelujah. Amen. Oh yeah. Bless His name. And so there's a striving. And I think it tells us in this chapter here what that striving is. And He said, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us. Amen. The weight means a burden or a hindrance. Amen. There are some things that'll keep you from running a patient race. There are some weights. There are some burdens. There are some hindrances. Amen. That'll keep you from being holy. That'll keep you from being sanctified, set apart. Well, why do we, if we're sanctified positionally, why do we need to be sanctified practically? So God can use us. Hallelujah. So we can bring glory to God. So others can see Christ in us. Amen. And your flesh, the natural man or woman, won't allow people to see Christ. It'll veil that from them. So you have to mortify. And you have to put this flesh down. And let God show and shine forth through you. Amen. Hallelujah. Be set apart. Be holy. Amen. Be Christ-like in your attitude, in your action, in your reaction. Hallelujah. In your deportment. That is, in your going out and coming in. In your setting down and your rising up. Hallelujah. Oh, bless His name. And there'll be a striving against sin. Hallelujah. That's what Paul said. Thank God. Oh, wretched man that I am. He said, I find when I want to do good, evil's always present. I find out I cannot do the thing that I would. Hallelujah. And he got so tired of it, he said, oh, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? Hallelujah. But he said, thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through the Lord Jesus Christ. Because Christ lived in the flesh and overcame, then died and rose again through Him and the power of the Holy Ghost that lives in us. We can live an overcoming life. We can strive against sin. Amen. And live for God. And have His presence. And have His blessing. And have His power. I want to tell you, this morning, I'd rather have that on my life. Let's have all the things that Satan could entice me with. Or all the things that the flesh could want. I'd rather have His presence and His power on my life. Amen. And to have that, we have to be separate. Amen. Amen. We are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, that God has before ordained that we should walk in them. Hallelujah. Amen. Run the race that is set before us with patience. And we do it by laying aside those burdens, those hindrances that cause some weights, amen, that would weigh us down and keep us from being successful in the race. Hallelujah. Are you hearing me? Well, let me get to my last point and I'll let you go. Striving against sin in salvation. And we're striving against sin and sanctification. Amen. Well, preacher, if it's always a battle, what am I supposed to do? Stay in the fight. Paul said, I fought a good fight. I finished my course. I kept the faith. It'll be a fight to the end. Hallelujah. But you'll learn as you grow and you mature in Christ that you can, hallelujah, yield to the Spirit, be led by the Spirit, that you can, my friend, not be ignorant of the devil's devices, and you can learn what weights you down, hallelujah, and what makes you stumble, and what slows you up, hallelujah, amen, from running the race, and kick it off, and lay it aside, and go on for God, hallelujah. And I'll tell you what those weights will do. I thank God they'll burn you down. They'll weight you down. And they'll slow you up. And they'll cause you to become impatient. And when you become impatient in running this race for God, then you'll get the sin of unbelief. And that will beset you. That will detour you. That will sideline you. And that will slow you up from running the race that is set before you. Amen. Bless His name. Then I want to say lastly, not only are we striving against sin and salvation and sanctification, but we're striving in sin. Against sin in service. Now, I've preached this to you before, but let me remind you. These Hebrew believers, this first century church that was made up, the first church, the first New Testament church, the church at Pentecost and for several months and years after, was made up entirely of Jewish believers, Hebrews. And as the days and the weeks and the months and the years piled up, they got faint-hearted. They got discouraged about striving against sin. Not only in their personal walk with God, but also in the fact of their service for the Lord. And so, Paul writes to them and says, don't quit striving against sin because you've got faint. Lift up the hands that hang down and the feeble knees. Make straight paths for your feet. Don't be turned out of the way. Don't sit down and quit striving against sin in sanctification. And don't quit striving against sin in service. You see, when God saves us and then sanctifies His position, then we go to sanctifying ourselves practically. Then we start striving against sin. Then usually there's that call of service. God wants us to serve Him. And of course, our duty is to pray and read the Bible and go to church and live for God. That is just a reasonable service. And then of course, some are called and for offices, some are called to missions, some are called to evangelists, some are called to pastors, other things. But all of us are called to serve Him. And sometimes, you know, we start out serving Him. Boy, it's so good. You know, I mean, I remember when the Lord saved me, and I was just a teenage boy. And then called me to preach, and man, I was just delighted. And you know, the Lord just put a message in my heart, and I wanted to preach to everybody, and I thought everybody wanted to hear me preach. But I found out that when I started serving God, there was a striving. There was not only enjoyment of serving Him, but there was a striving against sin. Yes, yes, yes. Hallelujah. Oh. Someone said one time, I tell you what, I'd like to go to a church where they don't have any problems. And I'd like to be a member of a church where there's nothing going on. And an older preacher spoke up and he said, well, I would. He said, if you're going to church that's not having any problem, if you're going to church that Satan's not opposing, evidently they're not doing much against him, and so he ain't fighting much. But if you go to a church where Satan is fighting and where Satan is resisting and you're striving against sin, there must be something being done right. Or yet, my friend Satan and sin would not come against that service if it wasn't affecting them. Hallelujah. So that's what happened to these Hebrew believers. It was exciting for them to have become part of the New Testament church and to come out from the old covenant, get under the new covenant, and to have their sins purged, their conscience purged. Thank God to have the Holy Spirit living inside of them. Hallelujah. And not just to be, thank God, a covenant people by ceremonies and carnal ordinances and washing, but to have a new heart and a new life. Hallelujah. Amen. In Christ, it was exciting. And to serve Him. And brother, they preached and they talked and they got together. But as the days went on, thank God, and they had to fight against sin and their own countrymen resisted them. And there was a striving against sin and to serve God. They got discouraged over the fact. And thought they'd just give up and turn back to Judaism and go back under the law and get all that pressure off of them and get all of that struggling off of them and all that contention off of them. But Paul said, you're not better off to go back. You're better off to go ahead. Hallelujah. And strive and contend. Hey, God. And go on. You're serving God. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Striving to get sin in service. And he said, here's what you need to look at when you're striving in service for God. He said, look at that great cloud of witnesses that surround you. Wherefore, seeing we are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let's strive against sin and serve God. He said, they strove against sin to serve God. Hallelujah. Amen.
And you'll strive against sin. And they were successful.
Hallelujah.
And God blessed them. And the world was not worthy of them.
Hallelujah. Oh, bless His name. Oh. And He said, don't quit now. But look at those that have done come through and strove against sin and fought the good fight of faith. Amen. Hallelujah. And when I look at those that have stood for the right, that have fought and have served and have lived for God, hallelujah. When I go to feeling sorry for myself, or when I go to look at myself and see myself striving against sin, and I see the victories they've won, and I see they've already completed their journey and run their race, or they're almost to the finish line, and then I say, Lord, if they can, surely I can.
And He said, if it's not enough for you to look at the great cloud of witnesses to help you to strive against sin, He said, then look at Jesus. He said, for He endured contradiction of sinners against Himself. Christ came to this world to do the will of the Father. Amen. And He said, my meat is to do the will of Him that has sent me and to finish His work. Christ came to serve the Father. He had a plan. He had a purpose. Had a program. He had a race to run. Thank God, He had a job to complete. And yet, He had faced the contradiction of sinners against Himself. So how did He strive against sin and serve God? I mean, the first time He opened up the Scripture, according to Luke chapter 4, in His own neighboring synagogue in the town of Nazareth. The first day that He opened up after He'd been baptized of John and the Holy Spirit came upon Him and anointed Him for the 3.5 years of earthly ministry that He had, when He stood up that morning to read and said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because He's anointed me. And then He said, I know you're going to say the proverb, physician, heal thyself. Amen. And He said, a prophet's not without honor, save in his own country and among his own kin. And He said a few more words to him. And you know what that crowd tried to do? They led Him outside the city, wanted to throw Him, hey God, off a hilltop, a precipice of a hill, and dash His brains in. That's what they want to do. How did He keep going? How did He keep striving? For the joy that was set before Him, He endured the cross and despised the shame. Hallelujah. He didn't quit. And when many would not believe him, and when many said, it's not this Joseph's son, it's not this Mary's son. And when many, my friend, I called him an illegitimate son. Thank God. And his mother a bad name. You know what he did? He knew he was in the will of the Father. He knew he got an instruction from God and a command from God and marching orders from God how to serve and complete the task. And though the religious crowd rejected him, even his own neighborhood and his own people rejected him. Are y'all hearing me this morning? And though, thank God, Rome rejected him and would have nothing to do with it, he stayed true to his cause. He stayed true to the course that was set before him and finished his race. Though he strove against sin, though he endured contradiction of sinners against himself, and he finished the word. And thank God, we can finish because he did this morning. He left the way. He blazed the trail. Hallelujah. He left a pathway for us to follow.
Amen. And we will strive against sin. Amen. Oh, God help us today. But as we strive against sin and salvation, don't give up. Hallelujah. Oh, no.
Don't listen to Satan when he whispers. Keeps whispering things in your ear and putting thoughts in your mind how to keep you from believing on the Lord. Hallelujah. Strive against it. Hallelujah.
And then when we that are saved, when we are trying to run this race with patience, when we are trying to be godly and holy and separate and sanctified, let us lay aside every weight and the sin that does so easily beset us, and let's run with patience the race that is set before us.
Let's strive against sin. Don't give up to it and say, well,
most folks don't want to live that way nowadays.
Go on for God. Run the race. Finish the course. Abide in the work. Abide in the calling. Amen. Walk in the good works that God has ordained for you to walk in.
And then when it comes to service, when it comes to doing the will of God, don't let the contradiction of sinners, don't let what others say or do, or don't say or don't do, don't let the looks of others, hey, and the comments of others, amen, and the oppression and the rejection of others keep you from stopping. Go on with God. Don't get arrogant. Don't get bitter. He talks about that in the rest of this chapter. Don't let a root of bitterness spring up in you, and thereby many fail. My friend, many I be troubled. Don't let that to make you bitter. But just look again to the cross. Look again to Calvary. Look again to the Lord Jesus Christ and see what He went through and see how He finished. Amen.
It'll help you to not become weary and faint. It'll cause you not to quit striving or quit struggling. Why should we not strive? Why should we not stop striving? For I reckon the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory that shall be revealed in us. Our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. If you can look beyond the strife, if you can look beyond the struggle, if you can look beyond the difficult situation or the burdens you're bearing now and see just over the horizon, just over the hilltop. Oh, bless His name this morning. Hallelujah. Just beyond this veil of sorrow, there is a brighter and a better day. Hallelujah. That's how Christ endured. He endured the cross and despised the shame for the joy that He saw that was set down before Him. Hallelujah. He knew that if He just went ahead and pressed on and pushed on and marched on and reached on and walked on, that just over there, hallelujah, that'd be sweet victory. And that will be for us. Hallelujah.
Are you striving against sin this morning? If you are, I would like to say this morning, keep striving.
Someone may be here this morning that's striving, have been striving against sin and salvation. That old flesh don't want to turn loose, and Satan don't want to turn loose of you. And there's a pull on both sides. There's a pull to stay where you're at, to keep living like you've always lived, and then there's that pull to do what's right and give over to God. It's a struggle. It's a striving. The church where I preached last week, on Wednesday night, we had six sinners in the building that were over 60 years old. For many of those services, many of the five services, not every service, every one of them didn't come every time, but many of those services, some of them come at least three times, we had grown men, 50 and 60 year old, that the pastor said had lived wicked, 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 wicked lives. But one of them kept saying, "Pastor, I don't know what's wrong, but something's pulling on me. Something's pulling on me to get right. Something's pulling on me to come to church. Something's pulling on me to do what's right." Why didn't he get right? Because he's striving against Satan. If it's just that pull from the Lord, he could just go with it. But there's another pull. There's that wickedness and that sin. There's Satan that don't want to turn him loose. And so there's a striving now. And you got to strive to enter into the straight gate. And I preached that before. The straight gate doesn't mean it's not crooked. It means it's narrow. And the only way to enter in the straight gate is you're the only one that can get in. You can't get in with nothing else on you. Get no burdens, hanging on to nothing. You've got to let everything outside the straight gate to enter in at it. And that's what's tough on us. Amen? But oh, when we ever get to that place that we unload it all, become godly sorry, unload it all on the Lord. And just come in by ourselves, just as I am without one plea, that thy blood was shed for me. Then hallelujah, we get in that straight gate and you walk the narrow way then. Hallelujah. Amen. Would you come today? If you're striving against sin and salvation, would you come and say, "Lord, if you've been fighting this battle, I need victory this morning." What about you that are saved? You've been striving about personal sanctification? You've been striving about service for the Lord? Become weary and well-doing? Then come this morning and say, "Lord, help me to strive." Everybody stand, please. Sister, if she'll come and play on the piano for us this morning. As she plays softly on the piano this morning, if the Spirit of God has dealt with you or you feel the need of prayer, the burden to pray, I wonder, would you step out from where you're sitting or standing this morning and come to the altar. Bow in here and ask the Lord to save you. Ask the Lord to help you with your striving against sin. Whenever you're ready. The altar's open to you. If you've heard the voice of God, if you feel the drawing of the wooing of the Spirit of God, would you step out and come this morning? Oh, would you come? Oh, that striving against sin. Have you become discouraged? Striving against sin? Have you give over to the weights? And it's bowed you down and slowed you up instead of you casting it aside or laying it aside? In serving God, have you become faint-hearted because of the contradiction from sinners? I mean, Christ said the Father had sent me, and everybody else said, "No, you operate by the power of Beelzebub." It's Satan that's inspired your work, but Christ didn't let that stop him. He strove against sinners. He endured the contradiction, for he knew the joy that was set before him. Don't let the contradiction of sinners, the criticism of sinners, the conflict with sinners keep you from serving God and striving against sin. For one day the striving will be over with. One day we'll fight the last battle. One day we'll pray the last prayer. One day we'll endure the last temptation. One day we'll climb the last hill. And it'll be home, home, home forevermore. Oh, do you need to come and be saved today? God's precious blood applied to your life can free you from the bondage of Egypt. Can free you from the power of sin and Satan. Bring you out.